I also enjoyed it quite a lot. That's really a blessing. And before I forget, these things as always, Afrikaans is so much simpler. But those of you who haven't put your first-time visitor's ticket, or not ticket, little brochure into the offering baskets, please, if you can just bring him to the office afterwards, I'll really appreciate it. Okay, then just from my side, please don't throw things in church. That's not very well, nice. Next week, me and my family, my wife and kids, we will be in South Africa. We're going down there for my sister's wedding. I'm really looking forward to that. It's my only and my youngest sister, and I'm going to do the wedding or the ceremony. I'm really looking forward to that. And please pray for me that I don't cry too much, because I know the tears are definitely going to be there. But I also know I'm in a very good position to really bless them, and that's my heart. I'm really looking forward to that. Then our good friend Francois, our beloved, who isn't here, he took his wife to the airport this morning. He will be in the pulpit next week, so please come and listen to his wisdom. He's got always a lot of that to share. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for this beautiful Sunday morning, Father God, and that we can be here as your church, your family, Lord God, that we can worship, that we can be alive, Lord God, and thank you that we can know, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is here, Father God, that you are turning our hearts to Jesus Christ, to the Father, Lord God, that you are drawing us and that you are exciting us, Father, and that you're almost interpreting to us this morning, Lord God. And Lord Jesus, we just want to say this morning that you are the foundation on which we build, nothing else, Lord God. This church, everything, Lord, that we want to build on you, Lord God. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord God, for our relationships, our friendships, Father God. And we also want to thank you for Scripture, Father God, that's so wonderful, that's so rich, Lord God. And I really trust this morning, Lord, that you'll speak to each and every person sitting in church, in the mother's room, and that you'll also bless the kiddies' church outside, Lord God, the facilitators, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, that you also speak to the young people, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there's a special group of young people, especially ladies from Jan Moore. All of those of you who visited my house yesterday, can you please stand? I'm a lucky pastor. Most of these girls, they were there yesterday. Thank you, Maggie, to our house. We baptized a lot of them because we did a sermon in youth on that. Can those of you who have been baptized yesterday just raise your hands? Can you give them a thank you, guys. You may sit. It's really something. We will show you the photo sometime. It's really something. They asked us if they could be baptized afterwards, and that was really a blessing, and just to pray for them. And I'm so excited in my heart for what has happened yesterday. It was really a blessing to have all of you guys there, and I said you can come and visit again. Okay, first thing this morning, I'm going to read a long portion of Scripture. There's usually two ways that I preach. The one is, I believe God will lay something in my heart or any other pastor, and then we collect various parts of Scripture to make like one complete puzzle or complete the puzzle, and then we'll minister on that and share on that. And then the other way is God will speak through a specific part of Scripture. And this morning I'm only going to read two Scriptures to you. The one is very long and the one is very short, but I really trust that God will minister to all of our hearts this morning. So those of you who've got Bibles, you can follow from me and with me. We're going to read Psalm 25 from verse 1 to verse 21. And it's also going to be on the big screen at my back. So I'm first going to read this, and I really want you to listen carefully. There's so much wisdom by the psalmist here, King David. Yes, he's been the writer. So let's start in verse 1. Psalm 25 verse 1. Of David, to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none of who wait for you shall be put to shame. They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from old. Remember not the sins of my youth or the transgressions. Accordingly to your steadfast love, remember me for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, He instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble His way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep His covenant and His testimonies. For Your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. Who is the man who fears the Lord? Him will He instruct in the way that he should choose. His soul shall abide in the well-being, and his offspring shall inherit the land. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear Him, and He makes known to them His covenant. My eyes are ever towards the Lord, for He will pluck my feet out of the net. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distress. Consider my affliction and my trouble, and forgive all my sins. Consider how many are my foes, and with what violence and violent hatred they hate me. O guard my soul and deliver me. Let me not be put to shame, for I take refuge in You. My integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for You. Now that's a beautiful part of scripture, Psalm, that was written by King David. Now if I were to ask you this morning, what is this 21 verses about? Then I'm sure that most of you, or if you were to study it, that there will be a lot of different opinions. Maybe you're in distress, maybe you have sinned, maybe you've got also enemies. There's so many things that we can take from this morning. And I really want us to look at this. The title of my sermon is, Do You Trust God to Guide You in Decision Making? Now, who of you have sometime in your life made a decision and then afterward you were very annoyed with yourself because you know it was the wrong one and you didn't consult God? Who of you ever made a decision like that? Oh no, you had the right place this morning. Okay, because I really believe and I wonder, this is something that all of us need all the time, because all of us always need to make decisions regarding the person you marry, your work, the car you buy or not buy. There's so many circumstances in life where we come to a place where we just know, I'm not sure, must I go left or right? Or there's so many examples that we can use this morning. And the other thing is something I've noticed in my own life. You know, those of you who are single people, young men, let's say like Gustav, who led so beautifully this morning. And also thank you, Van Vykes, for your contribution. It was really a blessing that you could share with us. When you're single, it's so much easier sometimes to make a decision because it's only you, you know. If you want to move to another town, that's not too difficult. You just do it if you're in God's will. Are you repenting, Maggie, or something? And then, but if you've got a wife and you've got 1, 2, 3, 4 kids, then it becomes so much difficult. Maybe your wife has got also a job. Your kids may be in different schools. They might be in a final year of, say, primary school or higher school. There's so many circumstances and many more things that you need to take in consideration when you make a decision. But ultimately, I believe that most of us want to do the thing that where God's hand is in, the thing that where He will lead us and where He will bless us. So I must, in a sense, warn you this morning that I believe this message is really for people who trust in God. If you don't trust in God or don't believe in God, this is not going to apply to you. Then we're going to pray afterwards for you, because if Jesus is the Lord of your salvation, then He will also be your advisor. But if you trust only one of the two, it's not going to work. So it's something I want to ask you this morning. Do you want to consult God when you make a decision? Now, as I said just now, I made a few decisions in my life, or not just a few, actually quite a few. Sometimes you have to make a quick decision and you do something, and then I knew, okay, this was wrong. And then I can just laugh at myself afterwards because I know I didn't consult God. Good. Now I want us, this it's going to be a long sermon this morning, so I want you to listen good, but I'm sure that you will be blessed by it, and I really trust the Holy Spirit to open it up to you, because I know different people is going to walk out with different things in their heart this morning. Now I want us to look at three steps in examining Psalm 25. As I said, if I were to ask a few of you, what is this psalm about? There's so many things that David is making reference to, but I want us to break it up into three pieces, and I think most of us will be able to relate with what he's talking about. The first one is the situation that the psalmist is in, that all of us can identify with some of the things that he is writing here. Then secondly, to show, I want us to see that we can ask God what to pray for, because David is praying for specific things here in this psalm. And then thirdly, why is David so confident that God will help him? I mean, there's many gods. I think one of you has got that DVD at the stage, and there's an interview, and then the person asked him, so what do you think about God? And then the person replies, so what God are you talking about? And especially if you're Hindu, I think they've got 33 million gods. It's really, you can go and Google it, it's amazing. But obviously we serve only one God, and that's the living God. So it's something we just have to agree on, that which God we are talking about this morning. Now, also we can say in the first, we're going to look at the elements of his situation. What is his circumstances? And secondly, the content of his supplication. And then thirdly, the basis of his expectation. Why? I mean, I know many of you, I can call you up this morning and you can testify about the goodness of God. Many times it's not easy to follow God. And I just want to, what I mean by that, if you were Moses and you were walking out of Egypt, you know, the Pharaoh said, finally, okay, you guys, you can go. I'm not sure if he knew exactly. He knew he was going to the wilderness because he said, let my people go so that they can worship my God. But he didn't know all the turns and all the things to do. And when he got to the Red Sea, I think Moses must have had, sweaty hand palms maybe, because all the people were standing, the Pharaoh and all his soldiers were coming, and things were tough. Good. So the first thing we're going to look at this morning is fear. Fear in David's life. Now, I'm not going to ask this question every time, but I'm sure there's a lot of you, maybe even those of you who are studying for the mathematics exam, as Henning asked, I had a lot of fear in my heart back in the day when I had to write mathematics. And my dad told me when he was at varsity, you know, he also failed maths in his first year. And then, you know, and he's now over 60, and he said he still, from time to time, get a nightmare on that. So fear can be part of our lives at different times. Now, I know there's a few very intelligent engineers and guys sitting here, and you can totally not relate with this. But please, have grace for the rest of us. Okay, firstly, fear. David also struggled with fear, maybe because of his life, maybe because of his reputation. We read in verse 2, oh my God, in thee I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. And then in verse 19, consider how many are my foes, and with what violent hatred they hate me. Now, that's not if you know that's the circumstances, you know your enemies really hate you. And it's with violence that they hate you. So there's two passages, two verses that we can look at, and we can see from that. David was sitting in, I think, Jerusalem, or in his kingdom, in a castle, guarded by many people. But inside, he was fearing, he was afraid. He knew there was many enemies that he had, and he was writing it here. And he knew he wasn't completely safe. Then the second thing that we can learn from this is loneliness. Now, remember, Scripture says that King David was a man after God's heart, as we say so often. But can it be that he was actually lonely? We read there in verse 16, turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Now, what does that mean? Didn't he have friends to talk to, friends to pray with? Didn't someone intercede for him? I'm not exactly sure, I don't know. But the fact is, he wrote it there, and that means it's something that we can learn from. I also, just before I continue, it just came to my heart this morning, and I love this scripture so much. It's from 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. And I'm sure most of you know it. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, always when I read scripture, and I almost want to, I just saw this picture. It was so beautiful this morning when I drove to church. I turned from Robert Mugabe into Bahnhofstrasse, and then at the police station, I was stopping at the red robot, being a good person and a pastor. And there I just looked to my right-hand side, and I saw this huge palm tree standing there with a thick stem. I don't know what stem. Yeah. with a and it's really a huge tree and it's quite tall. And next to it stood a different tree that was probably about three meters high, lot smaller than the palm tree, and it had a little thin, a thin stomachy. And it was almost if the leaves were putting their arms around this big and solid stump. And the thing that just came to my heart, this scripture came to my heart as well, and I almost want to encourage you that whenever you read scripture, read the scripture as well, that you know it's inspired by God and it's the word of God and that we can learn from it. And that's just exciting. It's something I just thought I'd share with you this morning. So David was also battling with loneliness. And if you think maybe you feel bad about that, don't. Because Jesus also in the Garden of Gethsemane, he also battled with that. Now my tongue is messed up this morning. And then also Paul, at the end, we read in 2 Timothy when he was in jail towards the end of his life. He also felt a bit lonely. And last night, I really, this is wonderful, but last night I was sitting in my room, I was working on the sermon and I was praying, and I really asked God when I started to give me a word for someone. I just wanted, you know, I just trusted God for that. And then I really felt that as I was reading and I came to this part, I feel I want to say to someone here this morning that God knows about your loneliness, and I want to encourage you that although you are lonely, don't be isolated. It's for someone specific. You will know who you are. I felt it very clearly, and I saw that person's face when I was busy with this, and I really trust that you will respond afterwards to this, because I really believe I asked the Holy Spirit to show me something, and He did, and that's something that's wonderful. Amen. Okay, another thing just on being lonely. You know, when I was in my first year in varsity, I also failed maths just like my dad. I don't know if it's a generational thing. I don't think so, because he really progressed in life and reached great heights academically especially. And then I remember towards the end of the year, a lot of things looked quite dark because my academic CV didn't look too well for various reasons. I wasn't saving, and the thing is, you know, when life really got tough towards the end of that year, that was in 2000, you know, I really started to discern who are just the good buddies to have around and who really are your friends. And I want to encourage you this morning, it's so important that you do have a few good friends around you, specifically not just for tough times, but when you feel you're in a situation like this, when you start to feel lonely, then you can phone someone, SMS someone, and just say, listen, pray for me, maybe go for coffee and talk to each other. It's really important, guys. Then the third one that we're going to look, that King David, emotion that he had in this psalm that he is writing about, is guilt. Now, as I said, I'm not going to ask every time if some of you can relate, but in my life, sometimes I also can relate with that, definitely. There's four places that is relating to that. And it's in verse 7. Remember not my sins of my youth or my transgressions. Then in verse 8. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, He instructs sinners in their way. Now, that's something where I came a bit to a halt. And we're going to talk about it just now. It says, good and upright is the Lord, therefore He instructs sinners in their ways. It's a nice one. Then in verse 11, for Thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. And then in verse 18 as well, consider my affliction and my trouble, and forgive all my sins. Now we can see from this, he's referring to sins when he was younger, and to current sins. No? Okay, so I think most of us can relate to that, because I know most of us definitely aren't holy. So there's external factors influencing him. He knows he's got enemies outside that really wants his head on a plate. There's emotions on the inside where he feels guilty, where he feels lonely. Now, and then in verse 17, yeah, it just says, relieve the troubles of my heart and bring me out of distress. So he's really, I'm sure by this stage, all of us can clearly see the picture where he's sitting somewhere in a room with a piece of paper and a pen or some type of instrument they wrote with those days. And we can see all the emotions that he's that he is experiencing. Now, if any one of us were in all those, in that situation where you experience all these emotions, then I know for a fact in my own life, it's really easy then to really start to lose your bearings. You're not sure, must you go left, must you go right, must you take that job, should you pursue that girl, must you quit your job, should you do this or that. It's really easy when all of these things are really working into you, and it's like a pressure pot, and you can really feel the pressure, and you have to make that decision. You know, then things really become, maybe you're relaxed this morning, and you're sitting here, and you don't completely relate, but Monday morning when you're back at work, or at the office, or at family, wherever, and all the arrows are coming for you again, then things are quickly changing. And we can learn so much from that, and that's the fourth one that I'm coming to, is confusion. And I'm going to read from verse 4 and verse 5. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. And then in verse 5, lead me into your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I will wait all day long. And it's so encouraging, as we're always reading the Psalms, many times we neglect it a bit. I remember there was a time in my life I just felt I should read the New Testament, and I just read it. But many times, guys, we should go back to the Old Testament. We can really get such a beautiful picture of God's character, who He is, the Father that He is. And then especially in a psalm like this, we can get so much just from one portion of Scripture. Now, we've seen all this. It's like a foundation. It's like a background. You can see the picture. So what should David do? And the answer is very clear what he does. He's going to pray. David is going to pray a lot for supplication in this. I've counted it. You can at least say there's about 18 places where he's making supplication, where he's praying, and where he pleads. Now, I want to read some of them to you. He asked God to guard his life and deliver him from his foes. He asked God to turn him and to be gracious and to relieve his loneliness. He asked God not to remember the sins of his youth, but to pardon his guilt. And in verse 4 and 5, he asked God to take away his uncertainty and his confusion by making him known, known to him God's ways and leading him into the truth. Wonderful. Can I have an amen there? It's really something that we can learn from. It's really something that blesses me so much, because as I said when I started off, do you really want to trust God when you're making decisions? Do you want God in your boat or not when you're doing it? And it maybe sounds like something, you know, all of us pray, and it's something that maybe it is quite obvious. But guys, there's something to it this morning. Now I want to ask you, or us maybe, the question, or maybe I must ask us the question, that now David is praying, he's asking God to forgive him, he's asking God for wisdom to guide him. So how does God answer our prayers? Can I have a hand or two maybe? Does God answer our prayers? How does God answer it? Who said yes? All of you did. How does God answer our prayers? How do you know if you ask God, should we move to Swakopmund, or should we stay here as a family? Should I get a new... Danielle wants to move to Swakopmund. We can apply it to many circumstances. So how do we know in our hearts that it's God that's showing us to move to the left or to the right? I want us to talk, to focus a bit on that. Now, God can definitely show us in a dream. He can give us a vision. He can give us a feeling in our hearts that you will just know that you know that you know this was from God. And many times, or sometimes, it will be different from what you thought. You know, maybe you prayed prayers in your life like me, and you say, you know, God, I really like that house because this and this and that. Should I buy that house or maybe this house? You know, you're almost telling God to tell you yes because you really want that. And then God is going to tell you maybe to do the other option. I've got a friend that went to me to Nepal, and he once shared it, this testimony. He applied for 3 different jobs, and he really wanted the one, for various reasons, that is paying the most money, because of benefits, and he liked the people and the company and everything. And then all three said yes, they want him to work, come and work for their company. And then he really prayed for it. Do you know what God told him? take the one who's paying you the least. And he thought, no, this can't be God. It's impossible. And he went back and he prayed about it. And the answer was still, no, take the one that's going to pay you the least. And he was obedient and he did it. But the moral of the story, the long story short, is that he a lot quicker got promoted in that company and he moved up in it. And God really blessed him. But it was also a bit of a test to him. So many times, we will look with our eyes and feel with our hearts in the natural. We'll ask our friends. And then you will almost, that thing looks perfect. But then God will say something else. And that's for our own good. I've seen it in my own life. I've got another friend, me and Maritza, we know him for about two and a half years now. And he's a rough diamond. I love him a lot. He will tell you he's a rough diamond. It's not a secret or anything. And then the other day, about three or four weeks ago, he came to me and he asked me a question. And that's just the first time he came to me during, say, office hours to talk to me. And I said, no, sure, come, let's have a coffee. And we sat and he said, well, I'm thinking about doing this or that. What do you think? And I told him, well, let's start from this place. And I shared a few things with him. And I said, well, this is what I feel and believe in my heart that you should do. And he said, thank you very much. Because, you know, some of his friends who doesn't know the Lord, all of them will tell him to do this because that's the thing to do. And obviously the advice I gave him was a little bit different because maybe of a biblical perspective. But I knew, you know, so in life we also know if there's this beautiful girl, and that I'm a guy, so I pursue girls. No. Now I'm in trouble. No. I used to pursue girls. I've got a beautiful wife now. I'll wave to her there. Okay. No. I've lost it there a little bit. But the important thing is, and sometimes you'll see a lady. Okay. Let's talk when I wasn't married. Oh, no. Let's talk. Take Paul. I'm going to not use myself as an example anymore. I'm going to get in trouble here. Let's say Paul is there and he sees a few beautiful ladies. And then he'll ask his friends maybe, so which one do you think I should pursue? And then they will give him certain advice. But if Paul's got, say, men of the world, real animals, they'll give him certain advice. And then when he asks Gustav will give him different advice. Because being in Christ, we think differently. Okay, but I think you get the picture. I think we should move on from that example. But it's actually something really important. So God can speak to us. I believe he'll give us dreams sometimes for the church or for ourselves, a vision, something in our hearts. Maybe he'll give us a clear sign. I've once asked God to give me a sign, and then he gave me such a clear sign. It was actually a rainbow, and it was so special for a big decision I had to make in my life, and it really blessed me because I knew it was the right one. But now I want to ask, in what other ways do God speak to us? Because I think that's one of the top 10 questions usually young believers battle with is, how do God speak to me? Is it God that speaks to me? Now, the thing that I want to say, if you're a young believer and you aren't hearing God's voice yet, hang in there, you will start, you will learn to hear God's voice. Because we have to really, we need to be renewed. Being not a Christian and coming to be a Christian, being born again, being filled with the Holy Spirit, and then starting that walk and growing in God. Now, the important thing I want to highlight this morning is that it seems to me that the Bible describes the ordinary guidance of God as the development of spiritual sensitivity. Okay? Of spiritual sensitivity. Now, sometimes we will, if you're busy with just the whole time, the things of the world, you are doing that and pursuing this and that. It happened to me before that I came to a place and I think, I'm not going to be able to hear God's voice in making this decision because I haven't spoken for a day or two to God. You know, I spiritually wasn't very sensitive. I was thinking maybe about many other things, doing many other things. And then that moment when you want to tune into God and like this old radios that had this big knob that you dry until you get to the station. Now you want to hear something quickly, and now it's a bit noisy. No? You see, then you've got a problem. But if we are tuned into God, and we are spiritually sensitive when we pray, when we worship, when we read scripture, when we come to church, when we fellowship, then God will speak to you. You will hear His voice, okay? You'll hear that still small voice in your heart. And I want you guys, when you have time, if you can't get hold of it, you can come to the office and we will help you in that regard. But Pastor Fred May, the senior pastor at Stellenbosch in the church there, last week he preached a sermon that really goes hand in hand with this one. And it said he was learning to focus. And it's almost the same thing. And I want you to go and listen it, because I'm just going to say 5 sentences of the sermon that he preached. But go and listen to it. It says learning to focus, okay? To focus spiritually, of course. And this morning I'm saying that we should be spiritually sensitive. Otherwise, we're going to miss it. Now, I just want to refer to one example that he used. Now, all of you know about the tsunami that hit Indonesia a few years ago. It was massive. I can't exactly remember, but I think you can correct me. It was more than 200,000 people that died. It was really a lot of people that lost their lives there. But he's got a friend in the Assemblies of God Church in Indonesia. And you know, that week before, maybe some of you might have heard the testimony by Pastor Fred before, but that week before, when they had this intercession like we do on Tuesday mornings, they felt that God said, because churches there is really under pressure, you know, they should go to the mayor and ask the mayor for permission to go and have a picnic on a hill. And they gone through all the ropes and everything, and at the end the mayor did give them permission. And you know, they went there, and they were at Bandai Archie, that's the name of the place, and that was hit the hardest by the tsunami. But you know, not one of them died. Not one of those people in that church, because they were spiritually sensitive. They were seeking God. They were listening. They were tuned in. Now, another example that Pastor Fred used, and it's an amazing example. We can just almost repent when we hear this. But if I were to ask you guys, how long do you pray in a day? I'm not going to do that, but you will know, of course, whether it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 1 hour, 5 hours, you will know. And he said he knew a friend of him that went to Pastor's Yom Kippur, to a big pastor summit overseas. And, you know, at the opening, there they was. And then he said, we're going to pray right now. And then, of course, obviously, I also pray in the morning when we start. And but the big surprise was, he said, we're going to pray now for 2 hours in the Spirit before we're going to start with the pastor summit. Now, to who of you might that be? That might sound like a challenge. 2 hours praying in the Spirit. I don't know how regular you do it, but I must confess I don't. Now, there's something important to that. Is if when we pray in the Spirit, we really link into God, if I can put it that way. It's really something important. Now, Pastor Fred was telling the story, and he said that friend of him, he prayed for a few minutes in the Spirit, and then he started to think of this that he actually need to do at home, and his lawnmower and wife and this and that. Now, the moral of the story again was just, you know, are you spiritually sensitive? Have you learned by now to focus spiritually? Are you tuned in? Now, I can almost connect this to every sermon that I've preached this year. Because if the answer is no, guys, then we must learn to focus. You know, I've read so many stories these days about sportsmen and the exercises, not just physically cardio that they do, but with their eyes and the concentration and mentally, how they prepare themselves before a sport match, whether it be rugby, cricket, soccer, whatever. They use all this technology these days. Now, as Christians, we need to learn to focus as well. We need to tune in. We need to be spiritually sensitive. Otherwise, you're not going to be sure. You're going to all the time, the devil is going to mess around with you, and all the time you're going to, I've learned this being a pastor now for almost 2 years, to especially from a Monday to a Thursday, to especially then to focus, to learn and to hear, God, what do you want me to minister on a Sunday? Because otherwise, I'm going to be confused the whole time. Having all the technology we have these days, I can just download a sermon from anywhere. Any one of you can almost preach a sermon today. It's not difficult. You just need to learn it and then sow it. But that's not the heart. We want to preach what's in line with God and with the Holy Spirit. And so many times, and I thank God for that, some of you have come to me afterwards and said, thank you, Pastor, that was just for me this morning. And then I know it's not me. I was just praying, God, show me what we should minister on. And that's the thing I want you guys to learn, that although you're working, although you're driving, although you're exercising, although you're having coffee, to be spiritually sensitive as well. Amen. We can ask the Holy Spirit to help us to be sensitive. And something that I just want to say as well. God is huge. God is big. God can't be confined or defined specifically. He's amazing. He's the creator of the universe. But God is gentle as well. He'll always come to you and he'll knock. In my life, I can, before I was born again, I can think of a few instances that God was knocking and I was saying no. There was a few things that happened in my life, and every time I was thinking, okay, maybe later, maybe next time. But God was knocking. Now, why I'm saying this is, when you ask God for advice, and you really, let's say, follow the example as David did it, I'm going to end off this morning by just, you know, pinpointing this. You know, if you ask God, then I believe he will guide you. But if you don't consult God, he's just going to stand there knocking and saying, ask me next time. Ask me next time. If you missed it this time, and just do what you want to. Okay. Then the third major thing that I want us to look at is this, as I said at the start, was the basis of his expectation. Why do we believe that God can or will help us? Why do we have this expectation? I'm actually going to skip that a little bit. I'm just going to read one part to you. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth. Sorry, this is a different translation. In thy truth, and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation, for I wait all day long. He's saying there, you are my salvation. David knows where his strength is coming from. It's from God, from no other place. And I know that a lot of you by now have learned that as well. That depending on yourself or looking in a cup with tea leaves and all those nonsense doesn't help. Crystal balls and those things, it's not biblical. And sometimes those things can predict the truth correctly, but it's from the devil. It's not from God, because it's demons that's working there. Then we go back to verse 8, and he says, then he comes to verse 8 and begins to describe the kind of person who can be confident of God's guidance. So there's a few guidelines that we can also get from Psalm 25 that will place us in a better position, I believe, to really hear from God in decision making. And it says, and that one is, I said, we'll come back to it, it's verse 8. Sinners can be confident of God's guidance. Okay? I'm a sinner. I'm sure most of you do sin from time to time, and then we really repent, because our quest is to become like Jesus and really to put all sin out of our lives. But I know we are being perfected and we need to renew our minds very often. But here in verse 8, it says, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in their way. Now, David knew what he was talking about, because he was repenting a lot about his sins. And I think most of us can really relate to that. So, you don't have to be, let me just say this now, don't get it wrong, you don't have to sin to hear God's voice. No. It doesn't work like that. But if you are a sinner, and from time to time you miss it, and you repent, and you really ask God to restore you and renew you, God will still lead us. You don't have to be a completely holy person. Otherwise, none of us will hear God's voice. So we can be confident that it's. I almost want to say now, please don't miss this morning. It's not a green card to sin. But the sin in your life shouldn't be an obstacle to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, or hearing his voice. Especially when we sin, we need to go to God. We need to come closer to him. Don't run away from him. That's what the devil wants. We should get closer to him. So the first thing that we can really see is that in our hearts, as persons, we should be as David. And we should go and we should cleanse our hands. We should go to God and repent about the sin in our lives, the things that we have done wrong. And then, as Jesus said to the lady, go and sin no more. But first start off by, you know, repenting of your sin. And that's just in being a person, you know, to be in a better position to get guidance from God. Because if your life is polluted by sin from day to night, then you're going to have a very difficult time discerning God's ways. I can promise you that. Then secondly, we're going to look at humility. In verse 9, David is writing and he says, he leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. Now we know that God definitely has something against people with pride. God doesn't like that. Jesus was a servant when he came. He really served the people. And here in verse 9, we can clearly say that God will lead the humble. So it's something that many of us from time to time need to learn again, and something that we just have to check with ourselves. Are you still humble in the things you do? Because, you know, many times when we are young and you can't drive a car and you don't have a job and many things, then you battle. Then it's easy to look at God. But many times when you become rich and famous and you own a lot of possessions and you think and you are a very good, say, doctor or a lawyer or a music teacher or whatever it might be, then you think, but you've been doing it for many years now. You can almost do it out of your own strength. Even me standing here in the pulpit, you know, it can happen to me as well, thinking, but I've got a lot of revelation or whatever, and know this and that, and that I can just preach. I'm just definitely going to hit a brick wall there. So, humility, guys, that's the second thing that's important for us to be part of ourselves all the time. Then the third one is covenant keeping. We read in verse 10, all the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. Now, I'm just going to just sum it up in saying, fear the Lord, the good fear of the Lord. You know, walk in his ways, follow God, and resist the devil, and keep your covenant with God. Amen. And then the fourth and the last one, and that's almost completing the cycle, coming back to the start by asking, do you believe that God can guide you in decision making? And that is faith. If you don't believe in Jesus or in God or the Holy Spirit or in many things, you're going to have a tough time to hear from God. You can't accept something you don't believe in. You know, you can't give your life to Jesus if you don't believe in Jesus Christ. If you just are someone that believes he's a mythical figure that lived 2010 years ago and it's just in a few books and the Bible is just written by men with no inspiration, then it's going to be tough. Then this whole exercise, if I can put it that way, it's definitely not going to work. Faith is going to play a big role. So if you are trusting God for a breakthrough in your life, or you're trusting God to really show you, should I move to a new job or position, it's going to require a bit of faith. You need to trust God for giving you the ultimate, the best advice. I mean, we also can go to the first part of Psalm 25, and David is writing there. It says, it's so beautiful the way he's writing. It says, of David, to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. He says, in you I trust. Now, many times you know the old thing, it says, God is sometimes slow, but never late. Now, halfway, let's say you are trusting God for a decision that has to be made by Friday at 8 o'clock. And then Thursday night may come and you think, okay, God is not talking to me. I'll just do what I believe is the best. But God will show you. He will answer you. You just have to have that faith. And at the end, maybe it's on 99.9, God will come to you, and as David is writing here, he said, I'll trust in you, and I'll not be put to shame, because I believe in you. Amen. Can we all stand this morning, please? As the worship team are coming to the stage right now and we're going to worship, I really want to ask you just for a few more moments to concentrate, to focus right now. I believe this is important and it will really help some of us this morning. As usual, can I ask you guys just to close your eyes for 2 or 5 minutes, just that you can have focus inward. Just listen to your own heart this morning. The first call I just want to make this morning is, if there's anyone in the house and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you completely don't know what I'm talking about this morning, trusting in God, knowing Him, keeping covenant with Him, if you're not sure whether you have come to Jesus and given your life to Him, I want to ask you this morning, as we're going to worship afterwards, please come to the front. Don't leave this morning if you haven't given your life to Jesus. It's a wonderful opportunity to do the best decision of your whole life. Then second, I said I believe I had a word for someone this morning, and I really trust that as we are going to start to worship, that you'll come to the front if you really feel lonely in your inside and you really feel that you are battling with it. I believe God is saying to you this morning that God knows about that and He don't want you to be isolated. Please, I would love to pray with you this morning. And then thirdly, guys, for whatever reason, if you battle in your life to trust God, maybe you feel God has disappointed you sometime, maybe you feel other Christians have hurt you or neglected you, or what it might be, if you battle with trusting God, maybe you can trust God for something small, but when it comes for bigger things, maybe for the salvation of your parents or anything like that, I really want you to come to the front. I want to pray with you this morning regarding that. If you battle to trust God, please come to the front. I would like to pray with you guys. And as we are gonna worship now, I want to ask all of you, as we are lifting our hands, as we are focusing spiritually this morning, as we are being sensitive this morning, I want to ask you guys, spend time now with God in prayer as we worship. Speak to God. Share your heart with Him. Tell Him about your fears or your desires. Asking David here, he said so many things. I want to encourage you this morning, share what's on your heart with God. And if you feel this morning that you need prayer, I'll stay here the whole day to pray with every one of you if you want to. Please come to the front. I want to pray with you. Amen. Prisca, I just want to share something.
Good morning, church. I think the message was definitely in season. Who's in agreement? Let's hear it for an amen for the pastor. Definitely in season. What I want to share is... over this weekend, we were five girls. We went out to a nice restaurant from there. It was me, Maggie, Skola, and Lachia. We're driving back to Katutura, and then our car got bumped. When I say this, I don't want to say it because this is like my fifth accident now, and I'm thinking, I'm like, Lord, this is more than enough. I've hit rock bottom now. How many times a car is going to run into me? And stuff like that. And I don't want to go tell people again my car was bumped again. It's like, and then they'll ask questions, but how did it happen? And I don't want to talk about it anymore because it's just too much. That's just what I was thinking. But the beautiful thing about that is while the accident happened the Friday evening when we're coming and driving back home, it's just the fact that we're in our lane and this car, taxi was being pulled by this bike and then the rope broke. And then the taxi swerved into our lane, of course, hitting us. But the whole time I've become this driver, usually Maggie, them can testify. Usually when I drive, every car I'm like rebuking, stop now in the mighty name of Jesus. Do not drive now before I drive or whatsoever. But then the Friday, the whole day, it's like the Holy Spirit just calmed me. I was so calm. I was driving without rebuking any other car. And when the whole situation happened, I think it could have been worse. And I can't explain how our car swerved so that only the light or the front part was hit and the taxi's bonnet was like popped up. I really do not understand how it swerved. But just the stillness that God gave me as a driver to hold the steering wheel and to just stop. And to when we came out, and it was in Vambolokasi in Katatrade, that's what they call it. When we came out, these whole people came surrounding us, you know, big men, some of them took out guns, accusing us. And it looked like we were not even scared. Everybody was standing up talking against these people. It was your fault and whatever and so on. But I don't know, the Holy Spirit just gave me calmness and I was like, Maggie, you guys, calm down. Everybody calm. I'm talking to the tate tate. Are you hurt? Are you fine? Or whatever it is. But then later the emotions, of course, caught up in me and I was like asking the Lord, but Lord, why? I've given you my everything. I've given you my life. But yet, you know, I'm standing in the place where I'm homeless, but yet I do not understand. Make me understand. And then when Carl put up the sermon on the screen, because I'm asking God, I'm so tired, I don't even know which decision anymore. Therefore, I stand here in the front and I say thank you to Carl, because definitely it's in season. But besides that, what I also want to encourage the church with today is, as we're worshiping before, I just felt the Holy Spirit saying that He has brought this church and we're to a place. It's like a fire, you know, if you go camping, there's a fire in the middle and we're surrounding this fire. And I just feel the Holy Spirit saying that He's brought us to the place where we're standing around the fire, the consuming fire that does not go out, that burns continuously. That's where the Lord has brought this church. And I just want to encourage you to go read Jeremiah 29:4-14. And I also just want to say that as we go into worship, and just like the pastor has called people to come to the altar call. The Lord is saying that the fire is here. If you feel lonely, whatever request that has been made, do not hold back. I beg you, do not hold back and just come to the front. Thank you so much.